right, welcome back everybody to Overdunk, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, and it's just the regular crowd here this time, just Zoinks and Bridget breaking down a whole lot of stuff. If you are fans of numbers, meta breakdowns, conversion percentage, ban rates, pick rates, encounter rates, brand new stat, this is going to be the episode for you. April Cup has come out, and I believe every statistician working in the game has kind of put out some amazing graphics to work off of, so we're going to be looking at those. If you're listening in podcast land, we will be doing our absolute best to give you the information audibly. However, this might be one of the episodes you want to go check out youtube.com/unitemikes to check out the video version so you can see some of those numbers. But otherwise, we'll keep you posted, podcast listeners. Don't worry. Bridget, I know you only got to see a little bit of the April finals in terms of the grand finals of North America. What are your thoughts? Any cool things to take away from this weekend's tournament?
I mean, other than just the super fun meta that we're in, the fact that we now have a team competing with the abbreviation UNC is really exciting for me. So was loving all of the posts and silly tweets about it. And honestly, just is really cool seeing Lutano compete again. Just as a fan, super happy.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree on both those fronts. Specifically, a team with the name UNC, I think, is hysterical. And also, shout out, I think JL on both of those rosters into the Amaterasu roster back in the day as well. So delivering us the ASU abbreviation, which was very, very fun. So two incredible team name abbreviations. Love to see it out of that player. So a great tournament from them. Very fun team to watch, by the way. I think they're doing some really cool stuff. But also, yeah, getting Lutano back in the mix. I think that's a big W for everyone in the community. So I'm a huge fan. Just a little bit of a housekeeping thing, kind of, not even about our podcast, but just greater Pokemon in general. If you're listening to this live on Twitch, you can do this right now. NEIC registration has kicked off. Stuff for the Unite, like competing, has already kicked off a little while ago. However, if you want to come as a spectator and check out the event, registration is now live. So if you're here on Twitch, go register right now. If you are not, please, do it in the future. Hopefully spectator passes will still be available. Bridget and I will both be in attendance. So if you want to check out the Overdunk podcast hosts in person, and by a check out, I mean come and say hello, like we're humans, please feel free to. Wow, wish I could cut that up, but we don't edit this show. We absolutely do not. You can come and say hi to us. It'd be really, really cool. And who knows, maybe we'll get stickers. I don't know. We actually do need to talk about that. Sierra brought some really new ideas into the episode that she was on last. So that is a
I want people, like, I want to make a cool poster, and I want to see other people make cool posters. That's my dream.
Okay. Oh, like the hold up in the crowd? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Like how at ACL, I feel like there are so many, like...
That's true. They're really creative, cool, like fancy ones.
Yeah, and you can even make like little like stick ones, like just like a little one. That's fair. I need to start drafting some ideas.
That's true. I think Psyche's put out some pretty pretty advanced ones in the past previous months. So all right, NA, step your game up. We've seen ACL pull it off. Now it's time for North America to get the mix. That'll be awesome. I am such a shill for NAIC. It is such a fun event. New Orleans is an incredibly fun city, especially if you've never been. Like, it's definitely one of those cities in the States that you should check off your list of I traveled to. It's a blast, a really rich history city, amazing food, and just, it's a Pokemon event, and Unite's going to be there, so you know it's going to be a banger. I mean, there's really no more other sells I could do. There's more, but I don't even need to because you're already signing up. Please. Go ahead. Oh, man. Oh, Prancy Ponyta on our Twitch chat saying the best ones I've seen are the simple thanks or you're on fire. That's good. I do like those.
I feel like none of the other like Pokemon esports really do it. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen some at events in the past, so I just would like to. I want to participate really selfishly this time, so.
That's interesting you bring that up. We got to talk to a few people higher than our pay grade. And I'm saying our in terms of the commentators when we got to go to ACL. And we asked them, they're like, hey, like, Unite's like been a part of this for a while. Like, obviously, we're really trying to make the broadcast a good part of the show and everything. They're like, what do you like about Unite and what it brings to the show? And one of the points that was brought up that I thought was so cool was that Unite brings in way more non-competitors than any other game. Just like way more fans. Like a lot of people will come to the event to just watch Unite and not compete. All the other games, the vast majority of people in those seats that are watching the broadcast are competitors who are on a break or have finished their tournament and then are now watching, right? Where Unite, we actually have a pretty large viewer base at in-person events, which is really cool. I mean, it's just, it's also just cool to get that acknowledgement from like people I rep. Like, that is a cool part of what your game brings. So it's like, ah, that's awesome. But yeah, Relic saying it makes a lot of sense. It's about the team identity more than the individual, of course. And it's just like, I don't know, we got like orgs involved and stuff, and there's like people who are fans of just individual players, people who are fans of teams. It's really, really cool. So yeah, some good stuff. Oh yeah, and also, man, a lot of Twitch chat references, so shout out Twitch chat, you guys are killing it today. But Dextro, as always, I am VP of our Twitch chat, saying, speaking of ACL, Zeta Division won the Japanese qualifier this last weekend. So the first of, I believe, three, I'm like 90% sure on that, qualifiers for Japan just completed, and Zeta Division winning the first one, meaning that they are going to be playing the PJCS, essentially the Japan regional tournament, to compete for world spots a little bit later this year, which I think is really cool. Another squad, I think it would be a pretty big shock if Zeta doesn't make it to Worlds, but
yeah,
they're looking great right now, which is awesome.
Big agree. Yeah, mm-hmm. I need to go back and watch some more of the ACL qualifiers from this past weekend. I think I saw like an exist game from the earlier portion of the broadcast, but it's about as far as I got.
Nice. I think I caught one Axies game, so we're kind of in the same mix. getting to see a little bit, and awesome. Another message from our chat saying that, yeah, we are in fact correct. There is three qualifier tournaments, which is really cool, but we'll definitely have to do a big primer on the PJCS tournament in a future podcast episode when we don't have to break down everything that happened in the April Cup, the final monthly cup. The regular season is over. We're in playoff land. Isn't that insane, Bridget?
It is, like, really hard to wrap my head around that the only thing we have left at this point are regional finals and then final stretch.
Whew. I mean, the conclusion always rapidly approaches. It's always a bit of a shocker to me, but this season feels even more so. Before we jump into this tournament and the breakdown of it a little bit, I want to just, like, kind of talk about what we liked, maybe didn't like, just thoughts on the regular season as a whole. It's some of it's going to be kind of tough to make final deliberations on until the regionals concludes, because that's still a very big part of the regional season structure. But just in terms of monthly tournaments, I'll give you some time to think of your answer. I will kick it off. I really liked these monthly tournaments this year. I think having a cash prize for them, albeit not a very large cash prize, but having a cash prize for the tournaments, I thought was really cool and kept attendance up in a few regions. I think Brazil and North America being the two kind of standouts kind of held a pretty decent number compared to years past. I think North America almost always right around that 70 team mark, which I think for an entire year, and let's all be honest, the state that Pokemon Unite is in right now in terms of player base, I think is pretty incredible. So was really happy about that. I thought that was great. I'm largely, I don't think it's just because of prize pool. I think there's a really solid amount of grassroots tournaments going on, like Underdunk and Unity Clash and stuff like that. But either way, I thought that was really cool. I thought the broadcast was really fun. More talent got an opportunity to try commentating Pokemon Unite for official circuits. I thought that was really fun. Having the Battle Hub team get the vouch and get officially pulled up to actually run official events in terms of the broadcast, and not just like the sister stream at EUIC a couple of years ago, was really, really cool. Was so happy for them. So yeah, I think those are just kind of my general vibes. In terms of season structure, I really wish championship points mattered a little more than they do now. Because right now they kind of only matter for the teams in the middle of the pack in some regions. I'm talking the like kind of 10th through 20th range. But either way, I thought it was a really fun season. How about you, Bridget?
Yeah, big agree on a lot of the points you made. I liked like kind of almost like how it was paced, I guess, with LAIC obviously not being a cup, but kind of like kicking off the season. I know the ACL incentive wasn't announced till a little bit later, so maybe it could have even been more hype if that partnership is continued, but I just thought that was like a good way to like start the season off,
Yeah.
and get me excited for all the cups that were coming up.
That's a great point. Yeah,
So,
that's huge.
and then I just feel like where EUIC and then NAIC like fall into place afterwards, they're just like really good like check-in points for the season, basically. So I just enjoy how they've spaced out the cups, and we'll have to see how it shakes out, but I do think I kind of like that they what's the rule called where they only do like your best performing?
A best finish limit or a BFL.
Best finish limit. I think does make sense because I mean even looking at this like past cup, like it obviously in OJ's case it's kind of nice to get one that maybe
Yeah.
you can scratch off your record, or in LG's case it's like, well, I mean, they've already qualified, but it's
Yeah,
like
they're
if
a
you're
weird one, but
already
you're right. If they
yeah, but I
weren't
feel
qualified
like
for Worlds, even so, it would be
and they
nice.
wanted to stay in Japan longer or whatever. You know, like they could maybe just like sit out one if
Yeah.
they wanted to not have their season totally like borked because of it. So I think that is kind of nice, and especially since both of those obviously happened in April, which we'll talk about. We did get to see kind of like new talent make it into day two, or at least have like a more interesting mix-up than kind of the usual we've been getting for the most part. So I don't know. I think I overall liked it, but yeah, agree with you. The championship point situation is interesting. I'm not
Yeah.
sure how I feel about it yet, but I don't hate it,
Yeah,
I
it's
guess.
interesting. Yeah, I'm not like super against it, but I think I would honestly, I think all my criticisms are kind of yet to be shown. It's sort of what it comes down to. I think it mostly comes down to Worlds qualification and specifically the final stretch that I'm not in love with for this season. In terms of the
Final stretch
format,
will
we
be,
said that kind of at the beginning how it's used, right? Like,
Mm-hmm.
but it's okay. Like, I think having a season to have its goods and bad, it's always going to happen. But yeah, personally, I liked last season where we had some championship points winners, some grand finals winners, and I think that was a solid way to do it. It still had an emphasis on the major tournament right at the end of the year because travel awards were very important. But I understand for some regions with less slots, maybe that gets a little mixy. I'm not sure, but either way, I preferred that to this season. But we're yet to see this final regional season, so that'll be still exciting. I liked the substitution changes and how team points were held. I was re If you go back into those episodes at the start of the season, I'm on record saying I'm extremely nervous about the championship points being awarded to teams and not individuals, and how that could potentially be misused or honestly like kind of bullied in terms. But maybe I'm not privy to some of those. Maybe I didn't see those come across my desk. Maybe I didn't see them on my timeline or whatever. For the most part, it sounds like that system was actually pretty well received. So I'm happy about that. I think having structured teams worked out well. We still saw a bunch of roster mania and everything, but when we see these roster manias change up, it's okay. You can just track that new team, and that new team name is now climbing. So, yeah. Smim
I
saying
feel
the
like
points don't actually matter,
even
so it wasn't an issue. That's kind of fair, and I think half intentional, when I'm really being honest about it. But anyway, sorry, I cut you off. What were you saying?
I was gonna say even in Start GG, like if I'm looking back at like you know like the March roster for whatever Orange Juicers is, if it's different than the February one, it's all like recorded and doesn't get like I feel like it used to kind of get like weird when people would like, I don't know, move, just like move around or like totally create new teams or whatever, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
So I've appreciated it. It's been
Yeah.
way easier to keep track of who is where.
Oh, it's been awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like yeah, that's one vouch we can give. I think Star GG stepped up their game overall. In terms of like having a really good league page, easy to follow, standings, schedule. I thought that was all more streamlined than it was in years past. So, pretty happy about that too. So, yeah, big ups there. Yeah, but I guess our criticisms are kind of yet to be seen. We'll see how it works out. I still am kind of upset about how the final stretch prizing is awarded in terms of the world slot. But it is what it is. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Perfect scenario: the team that wins it hasn't qualified for Worlds yet, and we all get to celebrate NAIC, and it won't matter. That's the perfect
Perfect.
scenario. But I guess we'll get to that point. Okay. Great. That's our regular season talk so far. We'll talk a little bit about the standings for EU and North America in particular. We probably won't go too much into LATAM, Brazil, or OC, but we'll talk about those in a little bit. First, let's talk about the April Cup, Bridget. Let's start with Europe. A very exciting tournament for EU. However, I think we're at the point where a very solid top three have been carved into place for EU, and honestly, you could make the argument for a top four, with BH3 Esport being included in that roster. But Nouns Esports eventually winning the entire thing after resetting the bracket against Kamai Esport in the salty runback. Kamai Esport taking down Nouns in the winner's final to kick things off. Kamai with some impressive wins in this tournament, by the way. Win over Gen 5 2-0, a win against Nouns 2-1, and then a loss against Nouns in a 4-0 fashion, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. Gen 5 on a heater. Again, they always just seem to be a very consistent team. Take the loss to Kamai, but beat Los Caracados, and then take down BH3 Esport. Pretty close to one game. So, a solid big four from EU. I think it would be a very safe money-style bet to bet on Nouns, Kamai, and Gen 5 being the EU reps at the World Championships later this year.
Definitely, yeah. Kamai has just been a force to be reckoned with when they register and check in for the tournament. Hey. So that is their biggest weakness. Mm-hmm, not Nouns. It is the check-in button. So I'm really happy to see that they've been able to tough it out through all of the roster media. I feel like EU wasn't having it. Kamai was having it somehow. They were like the only ones that it felt like they were always updating their Twitter with pretty funny updates. So
yes, it was a really great Twitter. Sure. Yeah.
But Nouns seems to be like in form now with Ender. It feels like they've gotten into like a really good groove with him, and it's been pretty seamless.
Yeah, I think that was the big question mark we had, obviously, after EUIC. But ever since then, team's been kind of buzzing. Ender slotting in really well. I feel like I say this every single meta, feels like a Toon meta. You know what I mean? Yeah, when he's got a roster like that, I really do think it's fine. But either way, I think Zera Aura is one of the better Zeras in the world. So getting to see that a lot on paper was awesome. Good looks from Nouns Esports, especially, you know, once you reset the grand finals, there's a lot to be said about mentality and things like that. But the current Kamai roster has got a lot of vets on it. So I wouldn't think that it'd be too much, you know, mental stuff going on. But Zante, Toast, Potato, Narami, Marv. I mean, Narami, I think, is kind of a young player. But other than that, these are veterans of competitive Pokemon Unite. I mean, like, these guys have been around the block. I don't think they're going to be getting too mentally upset in a situation like that. Obviously, they do end up falling. But they now just playing a very clean game in that grand finals in particular, which was fun to see. And if we're being honest, I don't think it's a adjective we attribute to Nouns very often. It's a good, clean game.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to go back and watch their games more closely. I think I was able to catch, like, the tail end of the Nouns win and the Adesu interview where I think he was talking about playing Zacian, so okay. I'm not exactly sure how those games went out or if he pried that from Gatlu's hands, I guess. Yeah. So I am interested to see how they were able to come back from that winner's finals L.
Yeah. Yeah, his Zacian is good. They're doing kind of the, I want to call it the LG thing, but honestly, it's so many teams have done it at this point that I can't just attribute it to one team, but a lot of the attacker roles slotting into all-rounder picks these days, especially when there's lighter amounts of crowd control on the other side. And that being said, Zacian, one of the few Pokemon that doesn't care about it too much with enhanced agility, right? So it's a fun tech to see. Speaking of stuff, let's take a little look at the metagame for EU. So the first tweet we're going to look at is, and these are Twitters that you're going to want to follow, everybody. First, we got Icarus_Twine. Icarus runs Unite API and also officially works behind the scenes in terms of stats on our broadcast, which I think is really cool. So these stats are, and of course, this one doesn't include EU. Awesome.
Ooh, this is awkward.
Okay, let's see if I can find for EU. Come on. Okay, here we go. Okay, so These are the stats for EU. They include the win rate, the pick rate, the ban rate, and the encounter rate. Now, this is my favorite new stat we have. Shout out to Wonder Chef for coming up with the name of this stat. I think it's awesome. The encounter rate is how many times a Pokemon is seen on the draft screen. So that it just combines pick rate and ban rate into one. How many times was it either banned or picked? Suicune at 98% in EU. Believe it or not, that number does get higher. I think Brazil hit 100% Suicune ban rate. Or encounter rate, sorry. And I think also OC in the same vein. But either way, whole lot of Zeraora up there. And Zeraora also doing a very solid performance in the win rate department at 62%. Looking great. That Pokemon is so strong right now. I think the only speedster that it's kind of getting outclassed by right now is, like, debatable between Talonflame and Absol. However, in EU, it beat both of those Pokemon in terms of win rate. Talonflame and Absol higher on the pick rate percentage, though. Absol at 51% win rate. Talonflame at a 52% win rate.
Yeesh. Yeah, I wonder. Trying to think, like, what it is about Zera, I guess, but I just feel like he has a good matchup. It's like, who can outspeedster each other?
It is a little bit. Yeah, that's a great point.
So it just feels like Zera actually has a pretty solid matchup into those two. Mm-hmm. And possibly a bit of the tune effect here. I can imagine Nouns is probably playing this thing. Yeah. As well as, it seems like, most EU teams were at least attempting.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm so curious. Let's jump over. So now we're going to be looking at Dr. Poker, another statistician in the scene who we see a ton of, has these stats specifically shrunk down to day two. So the stats that we were just looking at were for the entirety of the tournament, including the open qualifier and the top eight. These stats are just exclusively the top eight. Zeraora moving up a little bit in terms of the pick rate, but still below Talonflame and Absol. But the win rate actually starts to decrease a little bit within the top eight. It goes down to 42.9%, Talonflame at 53%, and Absol at a clean 50%. Am I getting that right? Right? Yeah. Okay. Well, Zeraora going 46% on the win rate in both days, 42. So it technically goes up a little bit, but Zeraora kind of staying the same in terms of pick and win percentage. Between the 2 days. Absol on a definitive incline, though.
Yeah, it's interesting that I feel like their win rates are, like, kind of hovering. And when I say they, I mean Absol, Talon, and Zera. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all, like, around 50%. But, yeah, it seems like Zera was kind of the loser in terms of pick rate and win rate for day two. So Gyarados definitely unexpectedly high up there for me.
If you want to give a shout out to Gatlu, this is the Pokemon and player combo to find. So a day two demon in Gyarados, 64.3% of games picked and 61.1% win rate. I know Gatlu was rocking the Aqua Tail a little bit in the mix, was also just playing some Rocky Helmet potion. So inspired by ACL, Gatlu was running it. Very excited. Let's take a look. Is Gyarados even make our graphic in any of the departments for the combined days? I don't think so.
No. Yeah.
No, definitely not. It's funny because if you consider those day one being a large portion of these stats, all the best teams played one game, if not more games, less than all the teams in the losers bracket. So it's kind of interesting to see, some of these picks by the best teams. Maybe there are flex picks. Probably won't show up on these combined graphics, which is interesting. But yeah,
I like seeing the difference between how it kind of devolves from one day to the next.
Agreed. One other Pokemon on this graphic that I wanted to bring up. I'll do two. Small note for one. Mew always will be this way. Extremely low pick rate compared to its ridiculous win rate every time. It just feels like one of those skill expression Pokemon. You either know how to play it or you don't. And if you know how to play it and you have it, you likely win your games. Mew with a 39.3% pick rate in day two in our top eight and a 72.7% win rate. Exact same stats as Inteleon, by the way. These two attackers, very strong. Mewtwo Y struggling a little bit on the battlefield, despite being the top four most picked Pokemon in the game with a 60.7% pick rate, but only a 23.5% win rate in EU. Mewtwo Y really struggling in the top end of the EU tournament.
Wow, really, really shocking, because we've seen it do so well.
Let's jump
in other
combined, yeah. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, no, you're totally fine. We've seen it do so well in other tourneys. Mm-hmm. Like have some of like the top three highest win rates, not in like a super unique meta, right? Like I'm still in like a speedster type meta, mm-hmm. but yeah. Maybe it's just like its skill ceiling is almost like too low, whereas things like Mewin and Inteleon are like a little more like bang for your buck than a high skilled like Mewtwo Y player.
Yeah,
so
probably.
It is interesting to see it not really thriving in EU this weekend.
Yeah, so if we look at the combined stats, so reminder, the day two top eight stats, 60.7% pick rate, 23.5% win rate, so extremely low, just countered really well, it seems, in the higher level of play. But in the combined stats, including day one and day two and all teams competing, Mewtwo Y has a 51% pick rate, so a little bit lower than the top 8%, but still has a 49% win rate. So basically right at even in terms of both of those stats. And yeah, just kind of exposed in the top level. That's a really interesting thing to break down. Glad we found that. Good detective work from us, by the way.
We're so good.
Awesome. So good. Okay, so that's kind of the meta breakdown of EU. I do love the encounter rate top 10. It's just a very funny thing. You're like, if EU was a Pokemon region and you walked around, these are the 10 most common Pokemon you would find.
God.
And what
horrifying.
A gauntlet. Suicune, Zeraora, Psyduck, Umbreon, Talonflame, Hoopa, Blissey, and Absol. I mean, that is it's a light and slout Pokemon region. Very intense. Who's your
starter? It's like the most menacing all-rounders and speedsters and like the cutest supporters.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. That is extremely true. I love that breakdown.
It's so good.
Okay, let's, before we move on from EU, let's actually take a look at the final season standings for EU. So these are the championship point standings. Reminder on how these work, and then shout out Gamma. I actually messaged him before when I broadcast, had a couple of questions. My first question was, is that best finish limit stat already included in the StarGG standings? They said, absolutely, yes it is. I was like, great. And then I said, okay, but how do some of these things work? Because if you are looking at these teams, there is one team on this EU leaderboard who has literally no players registered to their team, and there is a couple with only two. Now, the reason that's a problem is a reminder that in the rules for the season, you are only allowed to have two player additions between any tournament, which means that any of these teams that have two or less players associated with them will not be eligible to sign up for the regional tournament, therefore will not be included in the top 12, who automatically make it into the group stage. The top 12 teams who automatically make it to the group stage are taken out of the top 12 teams who have registered for regionals, meaning that this leaderboard is not an exact interpretation, but we can kind of easily just take a couple teams out that we know for a fact won't be signing up and kind of look at the new top 12. So our top 12, as it stands, I'm just going to read through them all really fast in terms of the ones we have. Nouns, Gen 5, Komai, BH3, Absolute Cinema, Los Duros, Game Life Balance, Ash and Rebirth, Los Falcon Domeros, and then I think Los Caducados, Plus Ultra, and Azeri. Should be all the 12. I think there was three teams that weren't included in that, right?
As soon as you start going and you start skipping names, I was like, I hope you're keeping track of which ones you skipped, because
yep.
I'm not.
Okay, I just did. Yes, I believe assuming all the teams that are eligible sign up, the final team to make it into the breakpoint, into the automatic qualification for group stage, will be Azeri Esports Cluba? Who knows? They will make it a meeting. Isolity and Kui will be just below that frame and will have to compete in the open qualifier for those final four spots.
Nice. I feel like that's a pretty nice reward, I guess, for hoarding your championship points all season.
Yeah. So obviously, having a qualification into the group stage is kind of nice. You don't have to play in a tournament that only four teams move on from. That is kind of, obviously, the top 12 teams of the region won't be competing in that same tournament. Makes things a little lighter. Mm-hmm. That being said, seeding will likely still be an important part of the group stage specifically. I am not in charge of seeding this tournament, and I don't know the exact rules on how the groups will be seeded. I'm just going to make the assumption that it'll be kind of done in a standard way, in which Group A would have the first seed, the 7th and 8th seed, and the 16th or the 4th place team from the open qualifier in the mix. Meaning that whoever is in 7th or 8th has to go up against Nance in their group. A kind of a terrifying prospect. At the moment, that would be... So this would be... It would be Game Life Balance and Ashen Rebirth in that mix, which is it's kind of a terrifying spot to be, you know? If you were Los Duros and you just dodged it, or Absolute Cinema, I think you're laughing all the way to the bank right now. Like, thank goodness. Maybe we got to go up against, maybe we have to play Komai, maybe we have to play Gen 5, but at least we don't got to go in the same group as Nounce. I think that is, actually, I don't even know if you can hold that. But
yeah, it's like a little relief, but not too much. It is like I obviously feel like Nouns is like a step above the number 2 and 3 spot, but I don't feel like the gap is like, you know, astronomical by any means.
That's fair.
So fair. Any of those top 3 is going to be a little little scary. Top 4 really, but
I was going to say, honestly, maybe the biggest winners are BH3. And the fact that they might have to play against some really good teams, like Absolute Cinema probably be in their group. But the fact that like they perform so well, they don't have to have any of those big three in their group will be kind of nice. You know, you can at least take a breath. You are going to be likely moving on to the double elimination bracket the following day. Or potentially the same day. Forget how EU works. Anyway, good stuff for them. Textro, of course, making the note, unless EU doesn't sign up, which of course would be a huge bummer.
Please, EU.
Gamma giving me the wonderful advice again, saying, can confirm it is Snake Draft. So the way I said the groups would be seated is correct. And then he also said, it's in the rules, which again, I'm sorry, I did read them. It was just a long time ago.
It meant nothing to me then, and now it matters.
Right, exactly. Okay, that is EU. We talked a lot about Europe. An interesting metagame. I mean, I think Zeraora doing really well, but Absol, I kind of the mainstay speedster. Zacian and Gyarados kind of taking over and making the metagame a little interesting. And then kind of a final interesting outlook for EU that is going to be... That is going to be intense. And also, Relic, that joke in our Twitch chat is tough. I can't read that one. I can't read that one out loud. Okay. Any more notes on EU before we move on, Bridget?
I don't think so.
Cool. Yeah, I think a cool metagame. I think those teams that we read out at the top four are definitely the teams to watch going into that tournament. However, I do think there are teams that could make it out of that regional championship with a world slot that we didn't include in that conversation. Specifically, I think Los Caducados is definitely one of those teams. And just knowing some of the teams, some of the players on Absolute Cinema is like another team that absolutely could take a win there. Maybe even a team like Game Life Balance, but those big four are definitely the ones to keep your eyes on. And who knows what an outsider's chance has. But okay, North America time. Dilith's already there in the North American waiting room. Let's talk about NA. Where do I got it here? Okay, here we go. North America looking at the April Cup. What an interesting tournament, Bridget.
I know. I hope you can give me some insight.
Yeah.
Inside of it.
The narratives around this event obviously start with who wasn't there, which I think is a little unfair to the teams who popped off in this event. So don't worry. We're going to give them their flowers. But the conversation has got to start. Luminosity Gaming, not in attendance for the April Cup North America. Two of their players still extending their trip in Japan. Looking like Overlords applying to every Japanese team he can. Hopefully he sticks it out in NA till the end of the World Series. But who knows? But I believe Otter and Overlord still over there on vacation, so did not make it back in time. And they're already qualified for Worlds, and the best finish limit in their favor. I guess this is one less event for them because they missed two. But either way, they not in attendance for this event. two other teams I wanted to mention, because I know the big name, obviously, is Orange Juicers. Orange Juicers go 0-2 in their bracket. I believe losing to Level 4 on the winner's side. Forget who their loser side opponent was, but shocker. There's caveats, asterisks, whatever. I know it's Easter Sunday weekend. There's a few teams that were really impacted by that. Either way, Orange Juicers 0-2 in the bracket. Not getting a single match win. Kind of absurd. Oh, Uzi's team beat them in losers. Thank you, Jail. That's actually crazy. That's brutal. Okay, so.
Chill.
Yeah, Chef, no chill in our Twitch chat. That's crazy. That's a big, the other big, maybe not shocker, but another big one is Standing On Business not making it. Obviously, a very big surprise second place finish from that team in last month and not making it even into day two. I think with a very similar record. I think they went, 1-2. They lost their first game in winners. They proceeded to win one match in the losers bracket and then fell. So two big names with, let's be honest, a lot of championship points with them and not making it into day two is kind of a shocker. So yeah, I don't know. So anything to say on all of that, Bridget?
Not really. I think I've just learned that players do not lock in as much for online tournaments, and I do think it being a holiday for a lot of people, maybe
fair,
you know, busy. Also, it is kind of like spring breakish time for a lot of people too, like I don't know, maybe it was really nice outside where I was. Maybe people just sure. I bet everyone just wanted to finish playing their silly little games and go outside, you know. That can be the only thing I can imagine that people would have. It was a beautiful weekend.
It was a beautiful weekend. Yeah, beautiful holiday weekend.
I don't know. That's my thing.
That's true. All right, Bridget, known Orange Juicers fan, it seems.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we all. But either way, did not see them as a bit of a shocker. But it, we got a lot of really great teams in the top eight regardless, which was a lot of fun. We had Nemesis making it in and having a crazy good tear on the winner side of things, beating Ignorance 2-0, beating Revelation in a 2-1 match, and then ultimately falling to Unique Coaching in a very close grand finals. It did reset. Unique Coaching came out hot with a clean 2-0 against them in the initial grand finals. Nemesis kind of punching back a little bit in the grand final reset when they needed it most, but Unique Coaching with a pretty dominant grand final despite the 2-1 scoreline near there at the end. But after that, we had a lot of great teams too. Ignorance, pretty solid performance, making it into their top four position. I believe that's better. That's the best performance they had all season, I think. I think Ignorance so far in our tournaments, and I might be able to do it just by clicking on their team page, believe have gotten 5th, 6th in every event that they have played in. I think this is just for this event right now, but or not every event they played in, but
every event ever.
Yeah, every event in this UCS season is end of the season. But so good run from them. Empire, shout out to K-Suffs Machamp. He takes a win against T3, ultimately falls to Ignorance 2-0. And I realize I don't even have the bracket on screen. I can change that right now. But yeah, another great tournament from Revelation, I think, being able to take down Unique Coaching, unfortunately, in an off-broadcast game. Still really, really cool. Revelation was able to do that, but then taking losses to Nemesis and Unique Coaching. I mean, these are great teams in the top eight, and Revelation playing some really interesting stuff, some really fun stuff. We saw Phalanx, we saw Duraludon, we saw Tinkaton. I mean, really, the variety Pokemon selection, incredible out of that roster. But I think NA now, after this tournament, one of the craziest spots that we are in is who are our three Worlds teams? You know what I mean? Like, that conversation gets so interesting to me with this region because Luminosity Gaming already qualified, done and dusted, don't even have to consider them, right? But we have Orange Juicers up for that title, Nemesis up for that title, Revelation, You Need Coaching, and those are probably the big ones. I would say Ignorance and Team YouTube are right there behind them, but they're like, I would say there is a bit of a gap between those teams in terms of like, am I going to predict them to win regionals, you know, and get a world slot. But either way, JL saying don't sleep on T3. Listen, JL, I don't know if there's been more people than Bridget or I who have stuck our neck out for T3 this season in terms of predictions. And unfortunately, they have not backed us up on those all season. I want them to have a great regional finish. I really do. But they're in they need to prove it to me mode now at this point, I think. And
we go where the money is, you know. Yeah.
Bridget, I won't get burned 5 times in a row.
Yeah, that's where I draw the line.
Oh my goodness.
I love T3, and nothing would make me happier, honestly. But oh gosh, it feels like 3 is so little when I think about all the teams we have had this year, especially now with you need coaching in the mix. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I guess I would say I feel pretty confident about OJ and Nemesis, but clearly you never know. Then you need coaching and Revelation have kind of been like, I guess, a little more like late in the season. Obviously you need coaching very late, but
yeah,
we'll see. It's gonna be an interesting regional quals.
This is the one region where championship points for the whole season would have been so beneficial for some teams in terms of Worlds qualification, but from a very selfish place, this is also the region that makes a regional final where championship points don't really matter and it's just top three so exciting. Like, unreal exciting from a viewer perspective. It is awesome. So, loving that. This all has to be said, but like, players, I know that's upsetting, but remember, NAIC will likely be stacked in the NA team's favor. Easier to travel to, easier to, you know, sign up and compete at. So likely NA could be winning another world spot, but that's not as guaranteed with the international talent with the play-ins event and things like that. We're going to have Brazil and the LATAM teams and OC and EU out at this event. They could try to steal a slot from NA. That's going to be a crazy narrative. I can't wait to It is evil. It is evil, but it could happen. But anyway, I think it becomes a really, really interesting question. Let's table that just for a moment. We'll get back into greater NA discussion. But let's jump into the meta for a little bit. Because, Bridget, you only got to see one game. You didn't get to see some of the more, I'll say it, the cooking-esque of stuff that we had.
Yeah,
from...
I think I missed a lot of cooking.
Yeah, there was a bunch. I believe we're up here for North America. These are... This is so funny.
Oh my god.
These are the combined days, of course, in terms of stats for April Cup for North America. Now...
The win rate ones are so funny.
The win rates are so funny. Now, a reminder... There is one caveat on this first stat page created by Icarus, is that any Pokemon selected less than 5 times is removed from these stat pages. However, that means that Tinkaton was played at minimum 5 times. And it looks like, I think, if I'm reading, on our graphic, we can see Tinkaton has a 67% win rate, highest in the tournament. It had 4 total wins. It had 4 total wins, which means that it probably played 6 games total, which is hilarious to me.
It just is so funny that it's like number 2 win rate, 4 wins. Like, yeah. It was so niche, but...
It did its thing.
It worked, yeah. When they picked it, it worked.
Yeah. I honestly think the hero here is Hoopa at a 68% win rate. Not making the, surprisingly, in North America, not making the pick rate top 10, and not even making the encounter rate top 10. Reminder, it was on the EU's encounter rate at 85% of encounters.
And had a really high win rate in EU, too.
You want to hear maybe the most insane part of the encounter rate stat for North America? The final Pokemon at like ranked 10th would be Umbreon with 68%. It goes all the way down to 30%. What that stat means is we have so much more variety of Pokemon selected in NA compared to EU. Like, that is crazy to me, actually.
Yeah, there's like not as much of a... It seems like the top 2 are more strict, I guess.
Yeah.
In terms of bans, like, it seems like Suicune, Zera, non-negotiable.
Right.
Whereas there's a more flex in like the last, or I would assume the last 2 picks.
Yeah, that's true. Interesting too, in terms of Suicune, only a 70% ban rate in North America.
Yeah. Way
Where,
too low, guys.
which in EU went up to 79% in terms of ban rate. So I guess not as different as I thought it was, but 97 total bans in EU. Okay, 198 total bans in NA. Now, reminder,
Okay.
a lot more teams competing in NA than they were in EU. So that is why we have more stats there. But Jalen in our chat saying that Snorlax has the best stats right now. I mean, kind of crushing it. 67% pick rate. NA do be loving Snorlax. 67% pick rate, a
Best picks.
47% win rate. Yeah, top of the pick chart. Pretty impressive. And then, okay, I think they were also, I think JL was referring to Snorlax with a 69% encounter rate. I think it was likely what he was getting
Right,
at.
that might have been it,
Yeah,
but
okay.
the pick rate is impressive.
Yes. All right, let's jump over to the North American Day 2 stats. So this is going to be a lot of
Fancy.
gassing up JL and the You Need Coaching, the Onk team, looking great. So these are poker stats. Fortunately, the picture's a little small,
You
but
zoom
kind of
in.
cool new graphic. I can, but I think it gets like a little blurry, but it's, yeah, okay, here.
Do whatever you want.
There we go. How's that better?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so top 10 Pokemon most used in day two. Talonflame soars up to the top. I'm sorry. Absol also very close to the top. Snorlax does move down a little bit, but only to the fourth place position. So looking good nonetheless. Glaceon, the second most chosen attacker. Shout out Lutano. I think a little bit
He
there
is,
for that
and the
role.
Alolan Ninetales.
Yeah, that was a wild one to see. Let's take a look. Let's see if we got. Okay, these are players with the most scores and stats and things like that. I don't think those are Pokemon rates. That's what I want to look at mostly.
No.
Cool. But either way.
I think all the Pokemon stuff is here, but
Yeah.
yeah, Talon being top dog, top
Yeah.
bird, I guess, but mostly because Zera was banned,
Yes.
it looks like for a lot of these games.
Yeah, and a reminder, and Poker talks about it too in the tweet, but these stats, the only thing that is only broadcast specific is the bans, because I don't
Of
believe
course.
API pulls those. So Poker just goes like, all right, this is what I got. And we get
Close enough.
six out of the eight matches, right? No, there's more than those matches. I think we missed three matches on broadcast in total. So
Oh,
there were
okay.
three matches that we miss in terms of ban rate. But other than that, impressive stuff. Cool. Any more notes on the actual stats that we have for Pokemon usage in North America?
I did want to see if you knew. It looked like Wigglytuff had some representation in day
Yeah.
two. Can I ask who was running the Wigglytuff and how was it?
So
If you remember.
Wiggly looked okay. Let's jump back to the graphic here and talk about it a little bit. Ignorance had some Wiggly gaming.
Oh, I did see a little ignorance Wigglytuff, I
Ignorance
think.
had some Wiggly gaming. I believe we did have Rollout Wiggly getting
Yeah.
up in there, which was very fun. I don't believe one. It was a good
Well,
time. Yeah, ignorance really bringing some
I
exciting
should have
stuff as per
known.
usual. But they had a good time with it, look like, which I think is important.
Hey, top four enough of a good time, so
Yeah, exactly.
we'll
Yeah, no, I
take
thought some of their
those.
picks were interesting. I think ignorance, I do think to be fair to that team, some of their best looks are when they're playing these ridiculously off-meta selections and
Yeah,
things,
it's
right? And
true.
it works out for them. And sometimes the Rollout Wiggly, for example. Another great example from this tournament is, well, it's not even that off-meta any longer, but I do
Yeah.
think Ignorance is one of the better support Darkrai teams that we have competing.
Yes, I did get to see that. I think I watched them play You
Okay.
Need Coaching,
Yeah.
and obviously they didn't win that one, but I was their comps were really, they're just always so inspired. Like, some may say troll or ridiculous, but they have a plan,
They
and
do.
for as long as they've been playing this game, they've always been like the weird kid at the lunch table, you know? Like, that is they will never cease to do that, and it just makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's now it's them in Revelation with the weird theater kid club
Yeah.
after school. That's
Exactly.
what's occurring now with
I
crazy
love
options. But
them.
yeah, it's been It's been cool to watch that team crush, but let's talk about our champs now, because I really want to talk about this You Need Coaching team. Obviously, the narratives around them are really fun with, like, Lutano's return, but I think some players stepped up huge. I think Vin had a really great breakout tournament at EUIC.
Nice.
And I think ever since then, it's just been getting better and better. It's been really exciting. I think they finally found a roster that they seem to click with. It's been fun to watch them absolutely crush right now. And I think this Unity coaching team is just insanely hot. I got to admit it. But the story of the grand finals to me have to be in that final game. Machizel was a unkillable Metagross, like truly immortal in every sense of the word. Fully stacked attack weight, fully stacked attack bracer, Excel bracer. So like the shields were at the maximum percentage of stat increase they could be. It was crazy. And Machizel was on a demon run. That match was so fun. The only game that Nemesis was able to take off of You Need Coaching was kind of on the back of a Yeet Fan Gengar pick out of pocket, which was pretty
classic.
Was cool, but it didn't quite go to it. It was interesting to see Nemesis play in this game against You Need Coaching, honestly, because I think Nemesis is a great team. However, in that match against You Need Coaching, I'm so curious what happened in their winner's match to start the day, because it felt like You Need Coaching just had the answer to everything Nemesis was trying to do. They went to a few, like, pocket picks almost. Like, we saw Bora kind of go back to the Maraidon a little bit and just try to go with, like, real comfort spot. Asmobul was trying to take a lot of the Crustle away and see what things could happen, and it felt like it was just coming up a little bit shy every time, and it felt like, honestly, just felt like Unique Coaching made them uncomfortable in this grand finals, and which makes me so curious what happened in that winner's side match and how they got 2-0. According to Lutano, I think it's a direct quote, got their booty butt cheeks slapped.
Oh, which is my
an insane life quote, but thank you for not swearing, I guess.
It makes it better, kind of, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
It's like more impactful. That is super interesting, but maybe, hey, sometimes first game, first set of the day, you're just not in the mindset, I guess. Whereas when you're like making your way through that loser's bracket, you kind of get more in the mindset. Mm-hmm. So who knows, but it is really cool. Obviously these players are not new to one another, but it's cool to see them kind of like performing so well, like in this roster for, I know they did well. Did they day two last? They were in? Okay.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, but I think they got knocked out kind of early on day two.
Agreed.
I don't know.
Agreed.
Yeah. I was like, this was the first time I really got to see them, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dextro confirming us. They 7th, 8th in March.
So. Okay, so barely a day too, but
and also means they came in on loser side, which is another just thing to note if we wanted to. But this time they came in on winner side, pretty impressive.
And they came in the number one.
Hey, winner side to champions, you love to see it. Also cool, North American EU keeping the tradition alive of good old bracket reset wins. The team that resets the bracket, they're gonna be winning the event. It just feels written in the stars at this point. So cool to take a look there. Let's one final thing about North America before we move on. We talked about the metagame, we talked about kind of the tournament narrative specifically in April. Let's take a look at our final standings for North America in terms of championship points. Luminosity Gaming, first place. Obviously, they're already qualified for Worlds, and they're also crushing in terms of championship points. But 2,140, incredible. Orange Juice is right below them.
Squeen.
Oh, yeah, why not? That's a great call. Here we go. Okay, so final standings for North America. Luminosity Gaming, Orange Juicers, Nemesis, Team YouTube, T3 in fifth place. KissKiss would be next, but they're going to be omitted as only having one player on the roster. So we'll just skip right past T3. So Ignorance, Rush Hour, Standing on Business, another case where we have to move on. T-Gang, Revelation, You Need Coaching, and Team Growth will be the final top 12 teams if all 12 of those teams I just named sign up for the tournament. Of course, there's situations where maybe a team breaks up or they don't want to play or anything, then the invitations to the automatically qualified top 12 will increase. But I think it's interesting to mention in North America, because look at this lineup on the bubble, Bridget.
Wow. Let's
go down. Goofy Goobers, Tempo Tantrum, Version 1, Flamin' Hot Dodrios, Banana Ballers, and LB Gaming and Hashiras in there. I could go even farther to level 4 and temporary moniker, but honestly, those like 6, maybe even 8 teams being on the bubble, like, that's a murderer's row of like really solid, let's call them tier 2 teams, right? These are grassroots tournament grinders. They played in a lot of the cool series that people in the community have put on, like the Articuno League and events like that. And they've crushed it there, or like the LG server league that Draku and Black ran. Like, a lot of good performances from these teams. So a very intense season here in North America that resulted in, I think, a really cool finish. Like, shout out to the teams that were just barely able to make it into that next level. Like, I think the team that mentioned, like T-Gang, maybe one of those teams, even Standing on Business with that second place finish last tournament was
crazy.
Is doing them a ton of favors in terms of championship point ranking. Rush Hour, the faces of consistency in every event you've ever seen. Also, shout out to You Need Coaching for entering this tournament in likely the 11th seed. That is going to really make those groups into an interesting nightmare. Revelation right behind them at the 10th seed. So that will be that will be very fun. Neither of them will end up in the first group, in Luminosity's group, but will likely end up in Orange Juicer's or Nemesis's group. That is, that's getting a little scary.
Yeah, these groups are gonna be scary, but I just can't wait for regionals. I can't believe it's just around the corner.
Yeah, it's huge. Man, Team YouTube holding down that number 4 spot. That's kind of impressive. I feel like we haven't talked about their accomplishments too much this year, but they've kind of been another face of consistency, like Rush Hour, right? But just a slightly better performance every time. But still, a good look for Team YT. Making it in, and then who even knows what happens when it comes down to regionals? We'll have to talk more about that when we get to regionals, because that is going to be a whole point of discussion. But interesting final rankings. Ignorance at the 7th place will likely actually be in 6th place with the who actually signs up for this event. But good seating to be at. Okay, let's go back to, like I said, we'll talk way more about what that matters. We'll talk about group stage predictions and all that stuff when we actually get to the weekend prior. It is going to be crazy. We'll have to make predictions for who makes it on the open qualifier too.
Yeah.
Especially in NA. Like, these teams, that's crazy.
It's, oh my gosh, everything is so soon.
I know, it's nuts. It's so nuts, but it's going to be an awesome event. I cannot wait. Before we go, before we end the podcast, I had a fun little game. I know maybe a few episodes ago, Bridget, I got you to blind rank a few things. It was a fun closing game. I have a little bit of a different game for you this time. And this one, I'm pretty excited for. Let me switch over to this screen and do this. Okay.
Oh my god.
So this is the most scuffed I could make it, and I think that's so funny. So if you are watching, you could see this. If you're listening in podcast land, it's a big Who's That Pokemon screen with a Shutterstock stock image of a gamer on it. Now, chat, feel free to play along. Bridget, I would just ask that you don't read chat while playing this game.
Oh, okay. I'll hide them.
So, Bridget is going to be guessing who the Unite player is. She is going to start every, there's 3 players, by the way. Well, just have 3 players. You are, for everyone, you will start with 4 points total. Is yes. that FQL? All right, you JL's already guessing. This is good. You will start with 4 points total, and I will give you 1 hint to start for free. And I can give you more hints, but every hint I give you, you will subtract 1 from your total amount of points. However, you only get to guess once. And if you get all the hints, you will still walk away, and you get it right, you'll still walk away with 1 point. So
okay.
It's likely
worth it.
It's probably just the good idea to ask the questions until you don't know.
I'm confident.
Yeah, until you're confident. So let's start with the first play. Let's just get this underway. It might be a learning one for this first one. It's fine. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Also, I think I'm ready. Reminder everyone, the Shutterstock image is not an actual silhouette of this player. This is a stock image off of Google.com. Okay. This first player, you're starting with 4 points. This player has played for 4 different organizations during their UCS career.
Four orgs
for their UCS career.
Holy, good job to them.
Yeah,
okay, I'm gonna like.
Okay.
I'm not gonna guess yet. Obviously.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. But, all right. And when you are ready to guess, just tell me you're locking it in, and I'll give chat the rest of the clues, just in case they want to play along. Okay.
Yeah. No, these are fun. But yeah, I will definitely. I have a region in mind, but
you're not looking at chat, right?
No, I'm not. Okay, I'm not.
Okay. Next one. This player's favorite Pokemon in Unite is Cinderace.
Oh my god, that's like all of them. That is not helpful.
Okay. These are going to be so hard.
I'm just realizing this is devilish.
This is devilish. Okay. Okay, right. Next hint. Okay. Are you locking it in there? Okay.
I don't know.
Next hint. This player has 39,700 followers on Twitch.
Okay. I have someone in mind, obviously, but. Okay.
You want to just lock it in? May as well, you know?
Yeah.
All right, well, lock it in.
Baby Mazo.
Okay. You are correct. It is Baby Mazo. There you go. Well done.
Literally, when you said 4 orgs, that was my first thought.
Really? Smim also got it off of the first clue. The final clue for anybody wanting to hear it was they won the Community Choice West Award in 2023 and in 2024. So the clues get like a little heavier handed to get you to it. All right, next Pokemon. So you're currently at 2 points. 2 points here.
Yes. Okay.
Next player. This player has only played for one team, and that team name consists only of 3 letters.
Okay. One team and a team with 3 letters.
Oh, and I'm so sorry. I'm going to slightly revise this hint to give you a little bit more. This player only played for one team. This is a retired Unite player.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh my god. Okay.
They only played for one team. And that team name consisted of 3 letters.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm gonna need more.
Another hint. Okay.
Yes.
This player played attacker.
A retired attacker player.
This is fun.
You're evil. Your little evil laugh. I have no idea. Another hint.
I don't know if this will help, but maybe. This player is from Malaysia.
Okay. More helpful.
Wow, good.
Okay, that is more helpful. Oh, I don't know if I can think of a Malaysian player, though, that played attacker and is retired. Mm-hmm. I wish I could, like, ask questions.
Yeah, there's one more hint. You want to get the last hint?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right, to see if you can walk away with 1 point, they are considered to be the best Mew player in the world.
Oh, I should know this. I'm blanking on my Mew players, man.
It's okay. You want me to just reveal it?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be so obvious when I hear it. But
yeah,
okay.
It might be. It's tough. I mean, there's a lot of players in our game. And the final answer is Night Mew Foxy.
You evil.
MYS, the only team they ever played for. Wonder Chef is right. They technically subbed for a team at ACL, but they didn't play, so I'm keeping my question.
That's allowed. I'm shameful.
But it's okay. You got 2 points from the first question, so you're still looking good. You're still a point per question average. That's huge.
I'll take it.
Okay. Last player. This player's name is an anime reference.
Okay.
you want to guess off that? Or?
Nope, I sure don't.
Okay. Okay, next clue. This player got ranked in S tier on our 2024 World's Gamer Tag Power Rankings.
Can I look at our power rankings?
No!
Okay, so we thought it was cool and anime.
Mm-hmm.
Good God. I do not know.
Okay, next clue. Okay.
Yes.
The Pokemon this player is most known for playing is a Kanto starter Pokemon.
They're most known for Blastoise, Charizard, or Venusaur.
Venusaur.
I would imagine I would imagine hot Charizard, but it's going to be some like Charizard player I can't think of.
That would be
Blastoise makes the most sense, but man, these metas feel like forever ago. Like you said Mew meta, I'm like, dude, all I know are speedsters right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Blastoise, like who played Blastoise? Like, I don't know.
It's actually Eevee. No, Smim.
No, it's not an Pikachu. Eevee soda. It's Pikachu.
Final hint?
Final hint, please.
This player is from India.
Oh. Would have been awesome if the Indian players went to Worlds last year so I couldn't remember any of their names.
It would. I will give you one more clue if you would like it for still 1 point.
Yeah, give me the bonus.
This player won the East Community Choice Awards back-to-back years.
I should know. Is it All Might?
It is All Might!
Yay! I got it!
Let's go! Okay, so there it is. Bridget, you walk away with a total of 3 points in our three questions. Well done. Shout out Wonderchef getting it off the first clue. Getting it off the anime reference, I thought was pretty impressive.
Hey, is the anime reference? I'm a fan.
So All Might is a big character in My Hero Academia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was... That one's that one. I have it.
That's okay.
I've seen some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them.
Yeah, no, that's all right. That was really fun. Thank you for playing. Maybe...
thank you for making it. That was so fun.
If you're ever interested, you can make some for me, too. We'll talk more about that in the future. Most importantly, actually, YouTube comments, let us know if you like that segment and if you want to see more of it, because if it becomes a recurring segment on the podcast, I would not be upset. I would absolutely love
good one
to continue doing that one. That would be a ton of fun. And while you're down there in the YouTube comments, make sure you like, subscribe, all that good stuff over there on YouTube. If you're listening on a podcast platform, best thing you can do is play it as loud as you possibly can on public transit. That would do us a huge favor. Bridget, anything to plug before we get out of here?
I don't think I do, actually. I'm just excited for more Unite and trying to get out of Ultra.
Let's go. Okay. Well, I'm going to plug one more time. If you haven't registered for a spectator pass or to compete at NAIC, registration is now open, so check that out. Otherwise, good luck to all our competitors as they start preparing for the regional finals. That's going to be crazy. Make sure you follow Big Bridget on Twitter. And other than that, we will see you all next week here on Overdunk. Love you, Dunkheads. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.